Expecto Patronum!
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 17 of Expecto Podcastum. Adam, how are you today?
I am very good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just, you know, it's Easter Sunday, so this won't be uploaded for over 2 weeks, but lots of chocolate. Very, very happy, Laura. I'm vibrating. Excuse me.
Same. I keep vibrating. Like,
well, I know. I just can't help it. It's a condition. So, as we were just saying before we started recording, two meaty chapters this week. Lots happening, learning lots. It is kind of the way though with Harry Potter books in that especially in the first three, the meat is really left for the end of the book.
We love meat at the end.
We just love a bit of meat at the end. So we're starting with chapter 15, which is just titled Aragog. So basically where we've left off is Dumbledore has been suspended, Hagrid's been taken to Azkaban, which we learn is the wizard prison, because apparently he was the person who opened up the Chamber of Secrets last time 50 years ago.
Allegedly.
There, you know, he never had a trial. We need to get the Innocence Project on this. You know, a whole Making a Murderer documentary on the wizard Netflix.
I blame Carol fucking Baskin.
Carol fucking Baskins is she's the one. She was the heir Slytherin. So basically the chapter 15 starts out, Harry and Ron are trying to visit Hermione, but they've closed off, much like how they're closing off all hospitals now to any visitors because of the coronavirus.
I know, I was having such like deja vu. I was like, where have I seen this happen before?
Yeah, I know. So no visitors are allowed in the hospital wing. Madame Pomfrey says they're taking no more chances, that there's every chance the attacker might come back to finish these people off. Dumbledore is gone, so fear had spread as never before. And basically, Harry just keeps repeating to himself Dumbledore's last words to him before leaving. I will only truly have left this school when none here are loyal to me. Help will always be given at Hogwarts to those who ask for it. So Harry, and then also they're wondering about Hagrid's hint about the spiders, like follow the spiders.
And then of course, you know, they're looking for spiders fecking everywhere, and can you find them when you're looking for them? Of course not.
It's like buses.
Anywhere to be found. They all come at once.
Now everyone's like shitting bricks and having the worst time. Like teachers are having to like bring them from class to class. So Harry thinks it's very irksome, he says. However, there's one person who's just living, thriving. And that is, of course, the drama queen of all drama queens, Draco Malfoy. I always thought Father might be the one who got rid of Dumbledore. I told you he thinks Dumbledore is the worst headmaster the school's ever had. Maybe we'll get a decent headmaster now, someone who won't want Chamber of Secrets closed. McGonagall won't last long. She's only filling in. And, of course, they're in potions when this happens. And he's just such a lick arse. Total brown noser, teacher's pet, and he's like, sir, why don't you apply for the headmaster's job? Like, oh my god, Malfoy, just stop.
Of course, you know,
just
for sake.
Stop.
Place has really gone to the dogs.
It's gone to the dogs. My father will hear about this.
Next year, I'm being transferred to Pig Farts. It's on
Pig
the moon.
Farts, Pig Farts. No, it's on Mars, Adam. And oh, Rumble yeah, Roar is
Rumble
headmaster.
Roar.
Pig fat, here I come. Pig fat, yum, yum, yum.
Yum.
Then Draco says, I'm quite surprised the Mudbloods haven't all packed their bags by now. Bet you 5 galleons next one dies. Pity it wasn't Granger. That's fucking vicious for a 13-year-old.
Yeah, well, you know, Malfoy doesn't like being shown up, and in all fairness, you know,
I know. And then Ron, of course,
Hermione being Muggleborn then is just like the icing on the cake, you know, is better than Malfoy, who's pure blood, and is just, you know, Malfoy's just like not this life.
But yeah, so Ron is just like typical standing up for his gal and being like, let me at him. And they then go to Herbology. And Ernie Macmillan, being a very mature 12-year-old, 12, 13-year-old, as they are in second year, apologises to Harry, saying that, "I'm sorry I ever suspected you. I know you'd never attack Hermione Granger, and I apologise for all the stuff I said." Now, isn't that a very good thing? It's very good, very Hufflepuff of him to admit...
That's nice, but it's bad that it took Hermione getting, you know...
Yeah, but you can't have to...
But could that have been a whole ploy of Harry's, do you know what I mean,
But no, this is very...
We'll find out in the upcoming chapters.
Very Hufflepuff... to be, look, I admit when I was wrong and I apologise. I'm being the bigger person. So they're in Herbology. They're discussing who they think it might be. And when Harry spots spiders running away and it looks like they're heading for the Forbidden Forest, they then are like, we're just going to have to go to the Forbidden Forest, pal. Like, pal, we're just going to have to do it. Get the invisibility cloak, bring Fang. You know, it's going to be a good trip. You know, it's going to be fun.
Get that invisibility cloak. I'm out.
I'm out.
Get the fire exit door.
Category is invisibility cloak.
Just an empty runway for the whole thing.
Yeah. That's hilarious. And that is actually hilarious. Just an empty runway.
Welcome to the main stage of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Where
this week's category is
invisibility realness.
Invisibility cloak extravaganza.
Eleganza.
Eleganza extravaganza.
Of course, and then they're waiting in the common room, waiting for everyone to kind of go to bed. Eventually, everyone's in bed. They put the invisibility cloak on and head down. And Ron is of course just like shitting bricks, and he's like, "Of course, we might get to the forest and find there's nothing to follow. Those spiders might not have been going there at all. I know it looked like they were moving in that sort of general direction, because of course Ron is terrified." Terrified of spiders. I like how in the movie, it's not in the book, but in the movie he's like, follow the spiders, follow the spiders. Why is it always follow the bloody spiders? Why couldn't it be follow the butterflies?
And then I love the short from Potter Paws that of Ron. Follow the butterflies, follow the butterflies.
Yeah, so basically they head into the forest, and in the forest they come across the Mr. Weasley's Ford Anglia that's just been absolutely, it's under a roof of dense branches, its headlamps ablaze. Good battery on the thing, Adam. You think after all these months, you know, the car wouldn't be able to turn on.
Those are good old cars,
properly sturdy,
built
an early 1990s Ford Anglia. So of course they go around, they keep walking through, and I didn't realise this because, like, that I haven't read this book in so long, but and it's not in the movie. They get abducted by the spiders. Like, they get lifted up into the air by spiders with that thing, like six immensely long, hairy legs, the front two clutching him tightly, but no, a pair of shining black pincers. Poor Ron. Like, I don't know how he doesn't just have a heart attack and die of fright. Like, absolutely. They're spiders, not tiny spiders like those surging over the leaves below. Spiders the size of cart horses, eight-eyed, eight-legged, black, hairy, and gigantic. So they can, but they're also able to speak. So it goes, Aragog called Aragog, and from the middle of the misty domed web, a spider the size of a small elephant emerged very slowly.
I hate this chapter. I hate it so much.
I actually get like, I feel like there's something crawling all over me. There was grey in the black of his body and legs, and each of the eyes on its ugly, pincered head was milky white. He was blind. What is it? He said, clicking his pincers rapidly. Men, clicked the spider who had caught Harry. Is it Hagrid? Said Aragog, moving closer, his eight milky eyes wandering vaguely. Strangers, clicked the spider who had brought Ron. Kill them. Clicked Aragog fretfully. I was sleeping. That's so me. Just like, kill them. I was sleeping. God damn it. Like, what the
kill
fuck?
Kill them.
We're friends of Hagrid's, Harry shouted. Hagrid has never sent men into our hollow before, he said slowly. Hagrid's in trouble. That's why we've come. And basically we learn that they said they've taken him to Azkaban because of the Chamber of Secrets. And Aragog goes, but that was years ago. Years and years ago. I remember it well. That's why they made him leave the school. They believed that I was the monster that dwells in what they call the Chamber of Secrets. They thought that Hagrid had opened the chamber and set me free. And basically we learned that a traveller gave an egg of an acromantula to Hagrid, of course. It's like how he got a Greek guy gave him the Cerebrus, and how a guy in a hood gave him a dragon egg.
he really has like a knack for just like, you know, Hagrid has this knack for just like, oh, here I am, just chilling,
and people just offer me magical creatures. So Hagrid got him a wife called Mosag, and they have lots and lots of children. And basically, they say, it would have been... so you never attacked anyone? Never, quoted the old spider. It would have been my instinct, but from respect of Hagrid, I never harmed a human. The body of the girl who was killed was discovered in a bathroom. I never saw any part of the castle, but the cupboard in which I grew up are kind like the dark and quiet. But then, did you know what kill the girl?
Just to backtrack for 1 second.
Yeah?
We were never told in the movie about Mosag.
No, never. No. She's not mentioned.
Never, just meh. How did I got like, you know so many what? Children?
Talking about that? All the pincers, it reminds me of the sixth
stop.
Movie.
Stop. Oh,
you
yeah.
Know the you know, with the spider with the pincers. Oh, no.
He was a great guy, other than all those pincers.
So, you know. Oh. So, basically, they know that the spider, they know what lives in the spider in that castle. They hate it and they will not even speak of it. It's like they're Voldemort. It's like the creature who must not be named. And even though Aragog is so fiercely loyal to Hagrid, he won't even tell Hagrid what the monster is. And of course they're like, oh, we'll just go then. And Aragog's like, go? I think not. It's like, my sons and daughters do not harm Hagrid on my command, but I cannot deny them fresh meat when it wanders so willingly into our midst. Goodbye, friend of Hagrid. And of course, the car comes to the rescue, and Harry's just like, get fang. Ron sees the boar hound round the middle and through him. That's Ron's strong 13-year-old.
Ron is strong.
Like a boar hound, picking up a boar hound and throwing him into a car.
I suppose Ron is on like total fight or flight. Like is really on it at the minute.
Like those mothers who like lift cars off their babies and stuff. Ron's just like, this is my moment. Fang, we're going.
Except, you know, he's throwing his baby into a car.
Yeah. Basically, they smash their way through the undergrowth and they come out of the forest and they're running. Poor Ron is violently sick in the pumpkin patch.
I would be too.
Honestly, same. Harry seems very calm for what has just happened. They were nearly eaten. They were abducted by massive spiders and then nearly eaten. So basically, they realise that Hagrid never opened the Chamber of Secrets. He was innocent. They get back up to the castle and, you know, Harry is just like, you know, his mind is like racing. He says he couldn't see what else they could do. They'd hit dead ends everywhere. Riddle had caught the wrong person. The heir of Slytherin had got off and no one could tell whether it was the same person or a different one who had opened the chamber this time. And then he realises, Ron, that girl who died. Aragog said she was found in a bathroom. What if she never left the bathroom? What if she's still there? Ron rubbed his eyes, frowning through the moonlight, and then he understood. You don't think. Not moaning Myrtle. Like, it makes sense. So, Adam, do you want to pick up now on chapter 16? Because I'm getting tired. Yeah, I also want to eat some chocolate.
Chapter 16. Priorities. Chocolate is greater than podcast.
Yeah. It's Easter Sunday. Come on. This is what the Lord would have wanted.
That is such a meaty, like... little meaty chapter, isn't it?
Yeah, like it's like you learn one. A lot. Like you learn that Hagrid just gets given. Apparently, it's not just a once-off thing. That Hagrid it's just like, gets given random eggs, and like that's because like then you have to think he got the acromantula egg.
You look like a man who's in the market for an acromantula egg.
And then he gets given a dragon egg. What's with all these eggs?
Okay, so now we're on to chapter 16. the Chamber of Secrets. Ooh, excuse me. So all those times we were in that bathroom and she was just there toilets away, said Ron bitterly at breakfast next day. And we could have asked her, and now it'd been hard enough trying to look for spiders, escaping their teachers long enough to sneak into a girl's bathroom. The girl's bathroom, moreover, right next to the scene of the first attack, was going to be almost impossible. But something happened in their first lesson, Transfiguration, which drove the Chamber of Secrets out of their minds for the time, for the first time in weeks.
And what is it, Adam? It's exams.
Exams. Of course it's fucking exams.
They're like, God, like priorities. Like, we're, you know, there's a monster roving the school trying to kill people and we're still
junior
going
cert,
to do exams.
Junior cert is cancelled, but leaving cert is just being pushed back a few weeks.
I know.
So the whole point of keeping the school open at this time is for you to receive your education. Said McGonagall sternly. The exams will therefore take place as usual, and I trust you are all revising hard. Revising hard, it never occurred to Harry that there would still be exams with the castle in this state. There was a great deal of mutinous muttering around the room, which made Professor McGonagall scowl even more darkly.
I just love how Ron is just like, Ron looked as though he'd just been told he had to go and live in the Forbidden Forest, and then he just holds up his broken spellotaped wand and said, can you imagine me taking exams with this? Oh my god, I just, also actually, sorry, something that has come to light, speaking of Ron, Rupert Grint and his girlfriend are expecting a baby. Congratulations.
Oh, no.
Rupert Grint.
Congratulations.
And what I continually forget, we watched Cursed Child with Rupert Grint.
We did.
I continuously forget this. So if anyone hasn't heard, I'm sure we spoke about this in a previous episode.
I think it was someone that was entitled We Met Nomad.
No, we didn't actually see Cursed Child
that time.
No, we just
also,
ran
this
into
was,
Nomad.
This was ages ago then.
Yeah, so it was four. It would have been 4 years ago in August because it was 2016. But basically, when me and Adam saw Cursed Child, we saw it like in the first like 3 weeks after it opened. And we saw the two parts in one day on a Wednesday. And on the interval going into the second half of the second part, like, we were up in dress circle and we just heard this scream from down below. And then the lights went down and that was it. It was like very quickly. So I thought someone maybe had like gotten engaged or I don't know what had happened. Anyway, didn't think about it. We got back to the hotel and then you text me and say, oh my god, it was Rupert Grint, because they, Cursed Child, like, social media pages had put up photos of him with the cast. And we were like, oh my god, we're in the same building as Rupert Grint.
we were breathing the same air, like literally breathing
and
the same air. Amazing.
Still makes me laugh is that Rupert Grint's girlfriend is the girl from Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. Like, they've been together like over 10 years now. They've been together a long, long time. But yeah, so congrats to Rupert Grint. And I think the girl's name, his girlfriend's name is Georgia. I just can't remember her name. Congratulations, one and all. But yes, so 3 days before the first exam, Professor McGonagall made another announcement at breakfast. Basically, good news that the mandrakes are mature enough and everyone can be revived later that night.
Yay!
That was a delayed reaction, Adam.
It was delayed reaction.
I was thinking that you were going to pick up what I was talking about.
Oh my god, because I've lost the page again because my book keeps falling.
Okay, we're on page 211.
Which is just so annoying. I don't know what's wrong with my book today.
Okay.
So it won't matter that we never asked Myrtle then, he said to Harry. Hermione will probably have all the answers when they wake her up. Mind you, she'll go mad when she finds out we've got exams in 3 days' time. She hasn't revised. It might be kinder to leave her where she is until they're over. And I mean, that is absolutely the truth. Like,
it is the truth. She'll wake up and have a panic attack.
Oh yeah.
Well, like, she'd probably still do better than anyone else in the whole year.
Oh yeah, definitely. She's like a mean dream examining machine.
Like,
I mean, dream? I mean, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. It's been a very long day.
I know. So Ginny comes over, and I don't really like what they insinuate with Percy here. It sounds like, so basically, Ginny seems very nervous, and she wants to tell them something, and she like tries to tell them, but no sound comes out. And then, you know, Harry asks if it was something about the Chamber of Secrets, and then Ginny drew in a deep breath, and at that precise moment, Percy Weasley appeared looking tired and wan. And the way he talks, it sounds like Ginny walked in on him masturbating. Don't you think? Adam, are you gone again?
No, I'm here. Okay. I just reached that section because I like...
Like, it goes... What's... Percy, she was just about to tell us something important. And he goes, what sort of thing? He goes, I just asked her if she'd seen anything odd. And she started to say, oh, that. That's nothing to do with the Chamber of Secrets. Well, if you must know, Ginny walked in on me the other day when I was, well, never mind. The point is, she spotted me doing something and I asked her not to mention it to anybody. I must say, I did think she'd keep her word. It's nothing really. I'd just rather. And then Ron, what were you doing, Percy? Said Ron, grinning. Go on, tell us. We won't laugh. Percy didn't smile back. Pass me those rolls, Harry. I'm starving. You cannot tell me that doesn't sound like Ron is like, yo, Ginny walked in on you, rubbing one out. It sounds like it.
It sounds like it,
but we find out that it's something to do. We do find out that it's something to do with Penelope Clearwater.
He's probably. I think she walked in.
She walked in on them like making out or something. That's what it was. But the way it's written here, it's very.
But isn't Penelope Clearwater like petrified at this
point? Yeah, but it's like, but before apparently, like she walked in on them like making out before.
Because when I read that, that's what I thought. I was like, and then I was thinking, oh, but wait, she's petrified.
No, I think it comes out at the end that basically Ginny saw them making out or whatever. Now this is a very meaty chapter, so I think we should kind of like skip through a bit until to get to the meat. But basically they're going to try and talk to Myrtle, but they on their way to trying to get away to talk to Myrtle, they bump into Professor McGonagall, who's like, why aren't you with a teacher? And Harry comes up with a great line on the spot and says that he wants to go see Hermione and to let Hermione know that she's going to be woken up later that day. Professor McGonagall gets very emotional at this. She thinks they're the sweetest little angelic boys who are obviously not up to any good, and says she let Madame Pomfrey know that she gave them permission. Now, of course, they're like, well, we have to go see Hermione now, because Madame Pomfrey and Professor McGonagall are BFFLs, and they'll like talk about this later, and Madame Pomfrey will say we never were there. So they get
in.
I can always imagine
like Professor McGonagall coming and hanging out in the hospital wing, have tea.
Yeah, I really feel like they're like best friends, like they're just biffles, like, you know. And because they have this like same sort of like tough love air about them, you know. Mm. Like they're both very much like strict but very like very concerned at the same time, like that just a bit,
and
like,
compassionate.
Yeah, definitely compassionate when they need to, but like no nonsense, like when it calls for it. So basically, they go and see Hermione, and they realise that there's a page in Hermione's hand. They get it out, and it says, "Of the many fearsome beasts and monsters that roam our land, there is none more curious or more deadly than the basilisk." Known also as the King of Serpents. This snake, which may reach gigantic size and live many hundreds of years, is born from a chicken's egg hatched beneath a toad. Its methods of killing are most wondrous, for aside from its deadly and venomous fangs, the basilisk has a murderous stare, and all who are fixed with the beam of its eye shall suffer instant death. Spiders flee before the basilisk, for it is their mortal enemy. And the basilisk flees only from the crowing of the rooster, which is fatal to it. Now, I love how it says, like, spiders flee before the basilisk, for it is their mortal enemy. Like, what is this feud?
Like, why? Like why is it their mortal enemy?
What's the drama?
I don't understand.
Spill the tea, spiders. Like, what's going on? What's the need for this, like
what's up, honey?
Feud?
What's happening?
I feel like we need to have, like, an untucked episode with, like, Aragog and the basilisk and just have them, like... talk it out, you know?
What was the reason? What was the reason?
What was it the Chancellor does? Oh God, like the sugar daddy. I don't need no sugar daddy. I don't need no basilisk. Why?
If I wanted a basilisk, I could have got one because I am what?
Murderous. Because I am what? The heir of Slytherin.
So, and beneath this, a single word had been written in a hand Harry recognised as Hermione's, and that word was pipes.
Pipes.
She loves pipe.
Oh, she loves that pipe.
She loves the whole pipe. Dirty.
Dirty. Go on.
It was as though somebody had just flicked a light on in his brain, which, you know, for Harry is a major thing sometimes.
It's a major thing. He just gets these little, like, little hints of, you know, like, just a ding-dong.
But he can be so stupid at the same time. Sometimes you're screaming at him, like, come on, Harry. Like, come on.
Connect the dots, Harry. Connect the dots, Harry.
It's not that difficult. Come on, I figured this out 4 chapters ago.
Come on.
Not in this one, though. But no. In some of the other ones, I was like, yeah.
Slowing the uptake, Harry.
So, Ron, he breathed, this is it. This is the answer. The monster in the chamber of secret, in the chambers, a basilisk, a giant serpent. That's why I've been hearing that voice all over the place and nobody else has heard it. It's because I understand parcel talk.
Yeah, no fucking duh, Harry. Like, come on.
No way. But
cough on.
Could he not have put, like... Okay, yeah, okay, knowing that it's masses now, you'd be like, oh, okay. But, like, could Harry not have put something together there to be like, oh, I'm hearing voices.
Oh, maybe it's...
And there's this monster on the loose. The monster is a snake of some sort or something like that.
Because I'm a parcel tongue and I understand.
I'm a parcel tongue and I understand it. But that's a bit of a stretch when you're that age, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose he is only 12. So it says, the basilisk kills people by looking at them, but no one's died because no one looked it straight in the eye. Colin saw through the camera, Justin saw through nearly headless Nick, and Hermione and that Ravenclaw prefect were found with a mirror next to them. Hermione just realised the monster was a basilisk. I bet you anything she warned the first person she met to look around corners with a mirror first. And that girl pulled out her mirror and Mrs. Norris? The water. The flood from Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. I bet you Mrs. Norris only saw the reflection. And then he goes, the crow of the rooster is fatal to it. Hagrid's roosters were killed. The heir of Slytherin didn't want one anywhere near the castle once the chamber had opened. Spiders flee before it. It all fits. But how's the basilisk been getting around the place? Pipes. Pipes are on. It's been using the plumbing. I've been hearing the voice inside the walls. And then he goes, the entrance to the Chamber of Secrets. What if it's a bathroom? What if it's in Moaning Myrtle's bathroom? This means I can't be the only person out in the school. The heir of Slytherin's one too. That's how they've been controlling the basilisk. And so they decide that they're going to go to the staff room and tell Professor McGonagall. But before they can get there, Professor McGonagall's voice has been magically magnified throughout the corridor, saying all students to return to their house dormitories at once. All teachers return to the staff room immediately, please. And they realise that there's probably been another attack. So they run to the staff room and they hide in the cupboard because they... For some dumb fucking reason, they decide that they'll listen to what they're saying and then, like, burst out and then tell them. No one's going to question why they've been hiding and eavesdropping in the cupboard.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, oh, cool, you're just chilling there. That's cool.
Yeah.
No bother at all. No bother at all.
So, Professor McGonagall has said that it has happened. A student has been taken by the monster right into the chamber itself. The heir of Slytherin left another message right beneath the first one. Her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever. And poor Professor Flitwick bursts into tears. And they reveal that the student is Ginny Weasley. And we'll have to send all the students home tomorrow. This is the end of Hogwarts. Dumbledore always said that. And then Gilderoy Lockhart comes in. I don't really care for this interaction, so I'm not going to do it. But essentially they make a fool out of him and he runs off. And then they said, right, once now that that's got him out from under our feet.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
How do they know that it's Ginny Weasley?
I don't know, I assume it's probably... I'd say it's probably left there. You know, I'm sure he probably wrote Ginny Weasley or something. I don't know, but they found out.
But it just says in the messages, oh, her skeleton will lie in the chamber forever. It's like, you know, and then she's like, oh, all students go to the dormitories, prop back. Like what they should be doing is going and doing, like, a full run through
I say
the
what's happened
like
is... I say what's happened is, like, her tie with, like... her name on it or something has been left beneath there to let them know. I say that's how it's happened, but again, we don't know.
If anybody knows,
I don't know who knows.
Please tell us.
Please let, yes, if anyone does know, please tell us, but I don't think they ever explicitly
say.
Joanne, Miss Rowling, I understand you're transphobic. But first, before we get to that, could you please tell me this, answer this question for me? Cool, okay, thanks.
Please.
So, it was probably the worst day of Harry's life, so essentially, for some reason, they just don't decide not to tell Professor McGonagall the situation. They've just decided not to. Like, I don't know why. Anyway, so they're up in the Gryffindor common room. And they realise, like, we should probably go tell Gilderoy Lockhart he's going to be the one who's going to go fight this thing. So they go in, and basically, Gilderoy Lockhart's about to pull a runner. He's about to leg it. He says that he's got a very important, urgent call, unavoidable, got to go. And basically, Gilderoy Lockhart reveals that he never did any of the things that he says he did in his books, that he actually interviewed the people who did do it and then altered their memories and stole their story and printed it as if he had done it. And basically they're like, okay, and he's gonna go, he's gonna alter Harry and Ron's memories before he leaves, but Harry uses Expelliarmus and takes Lockhart's wand, which is just, you know, frankly just embarrassing for a 12 year old boy to disarm a grown ass man.
A grown-ass man. But not even that. A Defence Against the Dark Arts teacher.
Yes. It's frankly embarrassing for Gilderoy Lockhart. So they decide that they're going to take Gilderoy with him. So they're like, essentially like holding a gun on him and being like, come on, move it along. We're going to the Chamber of Secrets. So they talk to Moaning Myrtle and she says, oh, it was dreadful when they asked how she died. It happened right in here. I died in this very cubicle.
Can I do all this?
Okay, please do. Okay, I want to hear this. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
wait. Lights, camera, action.
Oh, it was dreadful. It happened right in here. I died in this very cubicle. I remember it so well. I'd hidden because Olive Hornby was teasing me about my glasses. The door was locked and I was crying. And I heard somebody come in. That said something funny. They said something funny. A different language. I think it must have been. Anyway, what really got me was that it was a boy speaking. So I unlocked the door to tell him to go use his own toilet. And then, I died.
And scene.
I love that. Wonderful. Love that whole section. Claps.
And the Academy Award goes to...
Too right, it does.
And basically they ask how she died. And she goes, no idea. I just remember seeing a pair of great big yellow eyes. My whole body sort of seized up and then I was floating away. And then I came back again. I was determined to haunt Olive Hornby, you see. Oh, she was sorry she'd ever laughed at my glasses. I love that. She just haunted that poor girl until she left Hogwarts.
Which is just great.
Oh, just, I love the drama. I just love the drama of it all. Like, just the pettiness of it. Like,
It's just such a teenage thing to do. Just be like, if I die, I'm going to come back and haunt that one person that bullied me for...
Yeah. It's just, it's so funny. And basically they realised that the sink was not an ordinary sink. One of the copper taps was a tiny little... scratched on the side of one of the copper taps was a tiny snake. Basically, Harry says something in Parseltongue and opens up a giant pipe wide enough for a man to slide into. They gasp. And immediately Harry's like, I'm going down there, and Ron's like, I'm going too. Like, even though he complains like that Ginny's like his like dumb little sister, he obviously loves her so much, you know, like they've spent years to like a few years together after her friend George went to Hogwarts, just them together all year. Basically Lockhart's just trying to get away, and then they get him to go, and they're like, you go in. They hop him, they throw him in. And they go down, they light up their wands, and they see just a massive, gigantic snake skin. At first they thought it was real, but really they see it's just a snake skin. Lockhart's knees had given away. Get up, said Ron sharply, pointing his wand at Lockhart. Lockhart got to his feet, then he dived at Ron, knocking him to the ground. Harry jumped forward, but too late. Lockhart was straightening up, panting. Ron's wand in his hand and a gleaming smile back on his face. The adventure ends here, boys. I shall take a bit of this skin back up to the school to tell them I was too late to save the girl and that you two tragically lost your minds on the sight of her mangled body. Say goodbye to your memories. He raised Ron's spellotape wand high over his head and yelled, "Obliviate!" The wand exploded with the force of a small bomb. Harry flung his arms over his head and ran, slipping over the coils of the snake skin out of the way of the great chunks of the tunnel ceiling, which were thundering to the floor. Next moment, he was standing alone, gazing at a solid brick wall of broken rock. "Ron, are you okay, Ron?" "I'm here," came Ron's muffled voice from behind the rockfall. "I'm okay. This git's not, though. He got blasted by the wand." There was a dull thud and a loud ow. It sounded as though Ron had just kicked Lockhart in the shin. "What now?" Ron said, sounding desperate. "We can't get through. It'll take ages." Harry looked up at the tunnel ceiling. Huge cracks had appeared in it. He had never tried to break apart anything as large as these rocks by magic, and now didn't seem a good moment to try. What if the whole tunnel caved in? There was another thud and another ow from behind the rocks. They were wasting time. Ginny had already been in the Chamber of Secrets for hours. Harry knew there was only one thing to do. "Wait there," he called to Ron. "Wait with Lockhart. I'll go on. If I'm not back in an hour..." There was a very pregnant pause. "I'll try and shift some of this rock," said Ron, who seemed to be trying to keep his voice steady, "so you can get back through. And Harry..." "See you in a bit," said Harry, trying to inject some confidence into his shaking voice. And he set off alone past the giant snakeskin. He could hear the distant noise of Ron straining to shift the rocks was gone. The tunnel turned and turned again. Every nerve in Harry's body was tingling unpleasantly. He wanted the tunnel to end, yet dreaded what he'd find when it did. And then at last, as he crept around yet another bend, he saw a solid wall ahead on which two entwined serpents were carved, their eyes set with great glinting emeralds. Harry approached, his throat very dry. There was no need to pretend those stone snakes were real. Their eyes looked strangely alive. He could guess what he had to do. He cleared his throat, and the emerald eyes seemed to flicker. "Open," said Harry in a low faint hiss. The serpents parted as the wall cracked open, the half slid smoothly out of sight, and Harry, shaking from head to foot, walked inside. And that's the end of the chapter!
Yay. Dun dun dun!
So, yay. I suppose at the next episode, we're going to have... It's going to be. We only have two chapters left, so this is the penultimate episode in terms of Chamber of Secrets. And I, for one, thank fucking Christ.
I enjoy Chamber of Secrets.
I enjoyed that chapter, I have to say. I did enjoy that chapter. It had some drama, it had some flair, it had two drama queens in the form of Moaning Myrtle and Gilderoy Lockhart. You know, I did enjoy it. I think it's just because I don't like it. It's because the first book is always going to have that massive nostalgia factor, and the fact that it's the book that introduces you to the world of Harry Potter. And The Prisoner of Azkaban is just a great book. But I think in these early three books is that you just don't learn a lot in like the first, you know, two thirds of the book. It seems like everything that you learn, everything comes in the final third of the book. So I think it's just, it's a slow moving book at the start. But then once like last like four chapters are like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I can see your point.
Okay.
And that's all I'm going to say.
You have nothing to add.
I have nothing to add. I can see your point, but I have nothing to add.
Okay. So basically, Harry's gone to save Ginny. He doesn't know what he's going to find in the Chamber of Secrets, but he's found it. And that's it. So
I always love how JK always ends every chapter as a bit of a cliffhanger, so that you're like, oh, I need to read the next chapter.
You just need to continue on. It's like when you're a kid and you'd be like, oh, the end of this chapter. Or your mom's like, I'd be like, Mom, I'm reading. And she'd be like, okay, once you finish that chapter, you have to go to sleep. And it'll get to the stage of the book and you'd be like, no, I need to keep reading.
So that's what happened with me in the last book when I came home after like the midnight release of it. And I was like, oh, I'll just read like a few chapters. And next thing I was finished the book and I was like, oh.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember it took me like a day to read.
Oh, it didn't take me a day. It took me about, like, 4 hours. I was
That age, I was 12 when it came out. So you would have been 13, 14. So you've seen there's actually a massive difference in, you know, I suppose, in maturity and ability in that.
True.
So I think that's probably why. But it definitely took me, like, a day to read it. What's very strange about this is that this won't be coming out for, like, 2 weeks. And the world could be an even different place in 2 weeks' time. Like, who knows what the situation...
It'll be interesting to, like, listen over to this and then see what's happening.
Hopefully things aren't too bad. I hope everyone's out there. Like, it's going to be 2 weeks' time. Like, Ireland's lockdown has just been extended to, like, the 5th of May. I hope everyone's still staying safe and staying safe. Great words, Laura. Staying safe and washing their damn hands and staying inside, because honestly, that's just it's mental that the best way to fight against this is literally just by staying inside.
You're literally being paid by the government to stay inside.
Like, to stay indoors. That's the, like, it's honestly not the worst thing that could ever happen. But like that, I hope the world isn't in a too much of a worse place in 2 weeks' time, but who knows. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Expecto Podcastum.
If you want to contact us, Twitter.
Yes, you can find us on Twitter. You can email us, expectopodcastum@gmail.com. You can, we're on Instagram. Everything's just Expecto Podcastum.
And except for the one on Twitter is Expecto Podcastum, but without the U, because, you know.
Sorry, it's Expecto Podcastum without the U.
I only realized that, like, yesterday. I was like, oh yeah.
It's Expecto Podcastum without the U.
When I listened over to, like, a whole one of our old episodes, and at the end it was like, that's Expecto Podcastum without the U, I went, oh yeah.
Okay, thanks everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.